Jillian Coldsnow, you've been working at NWPB for 27 years.
28th now.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, that's longer than most marriages.
Longer than mine.
Mine too.
What do you remember about those early days of starting what was then NWPR?
Oh, Northwest Public Radio. How I loved it. I was so excited to come here, Sue-Ann. I moved here from Tillamook, Oregon, where I had been working at a small commercial station, and I loved that too. But this had classical music, which was what floated my boat, if you will. And we, at the time, had four or five stations. This studio that we're in right now, Main Control, had beige carpet with a big rip in it. There were pieces of foam mattress that were stuck to the walls as insulation, sound baffling. The seats were orange vinyl, also with rips in them. And our shows were recorded on big reel-to-reel tapes, and playback was on reel-to-reel as well. Now, I did the afternoon classical from noon to four, and then I worked from six to nine. And you know what was really interesting? I will always remember this. At 7:58, I had to do an announcement on classical and start a show on news remotely. So I had my headphones tuned to news, listening for the cue while I was speaking on classical, and then hit this remote, which was the size of a big brick. It was like a cement block. And I remember once after the broadcast at 9 o'clock, I went over to the news studio, and someone had put the tape dump button on, and this tape was unspooling in a huge mess on the floor. So I had to sit there and manually wind it up. This, you know, my day ended at 9 o'clock at night, and so I was not pleased with that at all.
Oh, no. And what a mess.
It certainly was a mess.
Well, let's talk about that love affair with classical music. I mean, how did that start for you?
Well, I was introduced to classical music as a young child when I was forced to take piano lessons. And that was not the start of my love affair with classical, because it was rote. I did not enjoy it one bit. When I was 14 or 15, I switched teachers to somebody who truly loved classical music and talked with joy about it. And so that's when I started to play more Bach and more Chopin and a bit of Mozart, and I started to love it. And about that time, I was 14, my parents bought a record player, and my mother gave me some money, and she said, you can go to the record store and choose any two LPs you want.
Oh, exciting.
And one of them was Highlights from Carmen, performed by Maria Callas.
You love opera.
I did. And I think initially it was just the thrill of the human body can do this. That was the initial impetus, that this sheer incredulity that the human body was capable of such acrobatics. But then I grew to love the artistry. And then I loved it so much that I taught myself some rudimentary Italian so that I could follow along with the lyrics. I loved it so, and I still love it so. Mm. And that's why I was really proud to have helped the Kenworthy in Moscow get a satellite hookup so we can have live broadcasts from the Metropolitan Opera. Not in pandemic times, but hopefully to return soon.
Now, you've made many connections with listeners, especially hosting events with various symphonies, like we're just going to list Icicle Creek Center for the Arts in Leavenworth, the Walla Walla Symphony. You hosted Bill McLaughlin with the Yakima Symphony Orchestra, Washington, Idaho Symphony, Mid-Columbia, Wenatchee Valley Symphony Orchestra. What are some of your favorite moments or events from those times?
Oh, meeting listeners was always the delight. And I've made some, I think, lifelong friends out of listeners. Our listeners are such a wonderful lot, Sue-Ann. I mean, you've met our listeners. Mm-hmm. They are wonderful conversationalists. They're thoughtful. These are the kinds of people I love. And we have so many of them coming to us. What a gift. As for some memories, well, I really enjoyed emceeing a performance of The Marriage of Figaro at the Yakima Symphony Orchestra. And I gave the introduction, and why I remembered it was because I talked about the figure of Cherubino, who is actually a young man, you know, maybe late teens, early 20s. But the role is almost always played by a woman, a mezzo-soprano. But at some point in the opera, Cherubino has to dress up as a girl. So I said, all right, think about this. We've got a woman pretending to be a man, pretending to be a woman. There was a bit of silence for a moment, and I said, are you still with me? People just started laughing, and I said, well, where do you think they got the plot for Victor Victoria from? So that was one I really enjoyed. And some years ago at the Washington Idaho Symphony, suddenly the first violin's string broke. They needed to take a few minutes break to replace the string. I got up and I said, well, I can help you fill the time. I did a little bit of a trivia session right there and then.
Off the top of your head.
Well, yes, because when you announce classical music, you gather a lot of stories about composers and performers and pieces of music and history. And it was tons of fun. I remember that fondly.
You've met a lot of listeners. What's something you want them to understand about public broadcasting?
When we say public broadcasting needs you, we really, really mean it.
You sound like you're doing a pledge drive.
I know. it's a cliche because there's truth to it, you know?
Yeah.
And yes, somebody can say, well, look, I didn't pledge, but radio still goes on. Well, that's because there are so many dedicated people who will keep on giving, and many of them will squeeze a few extra dollars where they can. They're not in grand circumstances, and yet they will support this. And so I just want people to know, if you think public radio is doing pretty well right now without your support, why do they need you? Well, think how much better they would do with your support. Yes, I know this sounds like a pledge drive.
But it's so true.
It is really, really true.
You have instilled a lot of great work ethic, and you've mentored many students from WSU and the University of Idaho who've come to work at NWPD.
Including one, Sue Ann Ramella.
Including me.
What are some memories from working with junior staff?
So very often I have students coming to me who have never even heard of public radio. They've never been in front of a mic. Well, you, Sue Ann, look, you've gone from that to the host of Morning Edition, which is the most listened to program on Northwest Public Radio. That is a thrill. But once I remember Kathleen Trotter, our Morning Edition host at the time, called me when I was running operations, and she said, we had an announcer named Don. She said, you know, I came in and the studio was empty. There was no sign of him anywhere. All the lights were on, things were running. I said, really? She said, I've checked everywhere. I can't find him. So I got dressed and I started to get to my car because I wanted to come to the station to see what had happened to Don. And I got a call from Kathleen. She said, found him. He had fallen asleep underneath the board. And when she went to the other studio to record, she stepped on him and she just got a terrible fright. Okay, so that was one.
That's a good one.
What do you think, after all your years in public broadcasting, should those who work in public broadcasting understand about their responsibility?
You know, we are in public service here in public radio, Sue Ann. And the principles of public service are, you have a responsibility. This is not about you. And I know that in radio in general, egos come into play. They have no place in public radio. If you are here in it because you think it's going to make you famous, you have failed. If you go into an interview and you think this is a chance to show how smart you are, and that you are the star, you have failed. Anytime you think it's about you, you have failed. What I want announcers to know is you have a responsibility to your listener and to the members of public radio. They are making it possible for you to be here speaking to them. So what is your responsibility to them? Well, in many, many surveys conducted over decades in public radio in general, listeners say, I want to be respected. Well, what does that mean? It means the announcer thinks about being respectful. In other words, they've taken the time to make sure their facts are correct. They've taken the time to make sure they've written properly. They've got their grammar in check. They've got their pronunciation in check. And they're thinking about the listener as they go through their day. Are you with your listener? Are you their companion? That is really important. And you always have to make sure that you are doing your best to present correct facts. That's number one. And then, are you companionable? In the words of Valerie Geller, number one, tell the truth. Number two, make it matter. Why should anyone care? And number three, never be boring. Yeah. That is what a good public radio announcer should do.
So you're headed off to Colorado Public Radio. What are you looking forward to when you get there?
Colorado Public Radio, in my experience with it, has been highly innovative with technology. So I'm looking forward to some of that. I'm looking forward to working with a much larger staff. I think they have nearly about five times more employees than we have here. And I'm looking forward to discovering the state of Colorado. Yeah. I'll be living in Denver. And, you know, I grew up in a city, Singapore, so I'm going back to my roots in a way, if you will. I want to discover high-altitude baking. I don't want to discover high-altitude sickness. I'm so glad that the great outdoors is as much a part of Colorado life as it is here in the Northwest. And every time I visited Denver, I found people to be just as friendly and down-to-earth and approachable as Northwesterners. And, you know, it's not going to be very far away. In fact, in a few months, I understand there will be a direct flight from Pullman, Moscow to Denver. So you shall have to visit with a single nonstop flight.
I love it.
It's a date. What are you going to miss about the Northwest?
Oh, I can't even begin to enumerate that. I'll miss the casual ease of Moscow, Idaho, which is where we call home, you know, just waving to everybody as you walk down the street, having casual conversations and that community feel. I feel heartbroken about leaving this. Well, with direct flights from Denver to Pullman, Moscow, I'll come and say hello.
Good. We'll still be connected, though. We'll miss you very much, Jillian.
I'll miss you all so much.